Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. I have a very important teaching for you guys. Okay, I think we're solid. We should be fixed. Look smooth. All right, welcome to the broadcast, guys. Sorry about that. It is what it is. You go live, you prepare, you fix everything before, and then the computer decides to go crazy before you go live. But it is what it is. We have a powerful teaching for you guys today. I'll do all the announcements after. If you guys are wondering why I'm online live so early, is I'm helping coach my daughter's softball team. So we have a softball game in a few hours, actually like an hour and a half. So I'm going live now, bringing you this teaching. I don't want to cancel the streams. I'd rather just go live earlier, and people can watch them on the replay. People can watch them on the replay. And yes, I have a video coming out in a few hours about the whole Mark Driscoll conference situation that will be coming out soon. But we have a very important topic to talk about, and I'm just going to jump right into it. And if you can, share and like this broadcast, that'll help us out tremendously. I don't know if we're even on Facebook. Okay, it looks like one of our pages is connected, but the other one's not. Whatever. My cousin said, Isaiah, do you have any videos? My cousin Jasmine, shout out to Jasmine, I love you. She said, do you have any videos about what to do after you get delivered? Because you have a lot on deliverance, a lot on casting out demons. But can you talk about what do people do after deliverance? So I'm going to give you 7 basic steps, things you should do, and things you should think about after your deliverance in this video. But before I even go into that, I want to say this about deliverance. What you do after deliverance is almost just as important as the actual casting out of demons itself. And when I use the word deliverance today, I'm talking about exorcism. I'm talking about driving out demons, commanding a demon to leave another person, and the demon leaving the person. But let me explain what usually happens in deliverance. People go through a deliverance. They don't get fully delivered. That's not abnormal, and it's not wrong. Just sometimes say there's 10 demons. Some people will pray for an hour, hour and a half, and let's just say 7 demons come out. Well, usually the other 3 demons left in the person that don't come out, the person goes home. They're like, yay, went through deliverance. And then those 3 demons, because now they've been discovered, wreak havoc on the person. So that's not abnormal. And then the person goes, well, maybe I didn't get delivered. No, you did get deliverance. You just didn't get fully delivered. And that's normal for those 3 demons that are left to wreak havoc in the person. So you don't want to get discouraged when you go through deliverance and after it feels like you still need more deliverance. Deliverance is a process. I did deliverance today and I said, hey, let's try again next week because we want to make sure everything's gone. And so oftentimes you go through deliverance, but there's still something left wreaking havoc. So don't panic that the demons aren't gone. It's usually that maybe there's 1 or 2 hiding. And now that they've been discovered, they just wreak havoc. So you still have gotten deliverance. You just might need more deliverance. And I want to normalize people going through more deliverance. I don't know why we think if you've gone through deliverance more than once, something is wrong. No, something's not wrong. Let me ask you guys this. If you're sick in your body and you go to the doctor and they give you a medication, then you go home and a couple months go by and you get sick again, do you say, well, I already went to the doctor once, I'm not going back? No, you go back if you have more symptoms. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctors more than once. So why is it wrong to go through deliverance more than once? And by the way, some of you are like, well, you're just saying this so you make more money and people come to you for deliverance. I make $0 on deliverance. I have never made $1 on doing a deliverance on somebody. If anything, I lose money because I'm spending so many hours, time, and energy, and I make nothing from it. So deliverance is not lucrative. You know how many churches will not invite me, will not give me an honorarium? Do you know how many people won't listen to me because I believe in deliverance? It's a net loss. It's not like, now where it gains is, I'm being faithful to scripture. The gain is I get to see people get set free. I get to see people, and that's worth it. Okay, so the whole like, you just want people to get more deliverance so that you can make more money. We don't make money on deliverance, guys. You don't make money doing deliverance. We don't charge for deliverance. And I did a deliverance today and I'm doing another deliverance on Wednesday from another family friend. So it's not like I'm gaining, but I want to see you set free. I want to see you completely free from every demonic power. I don't want the devil to have an advantage over you. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says to keep Satan from having an advantage over us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So we need to know the plans and strategies. We need to know what we should do after deliverance. We need to know how to get free because we don't want the devil to have an advantage. Guys, the devil's real. The devil's wreaking havoc every single day. We're seeing his works and seeing his plan. But it's time that the people of God rise up and say the devil's not the only one with power. The devil's not the only one with a plan. Deliverance is a must. I just covered a story where a lady killed her son and then a demon speaks out of her in court. Guys, when are we going to normalize deliverance and not normalize demons speaking out of people in culture? Like, when are we going to open our eyes to this? When is the church going to realize we need this? We've been called. We've been chosen. We've been anointed. You can't cast out the flesh and you can't crucify a demon. So we need to know what we are dealing with. We are dealing with demons in this generation. I'll tell you right now, this whole Mark Driscoll thing where that guy who was a stripper ripped his clothes off at the men's event, that's a demon. I hate to tell you, if you just a spoiler for the video coming out tonight, that's a spirit of perversion. That is a gay spirit that is in that man ripping off his clothes in a men's conference. Nobody wants to see that. Now you're like, well, it wasn't, you know, he wasn't a stripper at the time. He was just doing a sword swallowing act. Who wants to see someone swallow a sword? The Bible says if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Not only that, forget about him being a stripper before, which he was, and I proved that in my video coming out in a few hours. Forget about all that. What men want to see another man rip his clothes off? Unless you're gay, I'm just going to say it the way it is. Hi, Pagani. Love you, bro. You jumped in at a weird time. Sorry, bro. Unless you're gay, there should be no ripping off of clothes at a men's conference. We should be putting on Christ. The Bible says put on Christ. We should be putting on Christ, not ripping our clothes off. So even if it wasn't this stripper thing, if you're confused on what's going on, I have a video coming out tonight about it. The bottom line is this. We need the men of God to rise up. We need warriors to rise up. The devil's wreaking havoc. The devil is real. These demons are looking for a body to inhabit. That's really the basic definition of a demon. It's a person without a body. Yeah, and then this guy, Bishop Mari, he got stabbed as well, just what, today or yesterday? These are demons at work. So in America here, you have this male stripper at a men's conference at a church. And then at the same time, you have a pastor being stabbed while he's preaching. Demons are at work. We need to not just get free from them, but we need to stay free from them. We need to keep the doors closed in Jesus' name. Keep every door closed. So what do we do after deliverance? Now, maybe you're here like, what is a demon? The simplest way to describe a demon is a person without a body. Demons crave someone to live in. Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So we're not wrestling people, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We are fighting demons. We are fighting demonic spirits. That is what we are at war against. Stop listening to that lukewarm pastor that tells you it's not everything spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Do not listen to pastors that say, not everything spiritual, brother. Everything is spiritual if you actually study and read the Bible and live by scripture. The invisible and the visible realm. So these personalities, these demons want to live inside of people. That is why as Christians, we need to take authority and set people free from demons. Luke 10:17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons obey us in your name. Luke 10:19, I've given you authority over serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you. This is not talking about serpents and scorpions in the desert. Jesus was not saying like, hey, I've given you power over, you know, the scorpions that are going to bite you when you're preaching out in the desert. That is not what he's saying. He's talking about spiritually. Serpents and scorpions represent demonic powers, represent demonic spirits. Type one in the chat if you're with me here. Demonic. And God says, I've given you power over all of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy, nothing will injure you. We are not afraid of deliverance. We are not afraid of casting out demons. Nothing is going to injure you. So after you get set free, there's protocol. There's steps you need to take, and I'm going to show you that. Mark 6:7, he summoned the 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Luke 9:1, we have a lot of scripture for you today. He called the 12 and gave them power over demons and healed diseases. Mark 16:17, these signs will follow those that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. Acts 8:7, for in this case, many had unclean spirits and they were coming out screaming with a loud voice as they left. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Friend, you have power. You have authority. You are not defeated. You are not weak. God has given you his spirit. God has given you his authority. You can set the captives free. You can liberate people. It's a beautiful thing to liberate the captives. Don't live under the standard God has given you. We need, I'm just so tired of the America. I'm fired up right now because I just filmed a video about this male stripper in the church. So I'm fired up. We, in the American Church Incorporated, have lost the power of God. We've lost the power of deliverance. I'll tell you why. Because we platform male strippers and pastors that punt the Bible off the stage rather than platforming the Holy Ghost and deliverance. Why don't we platform? You know what's crazy? A guy like me, I was just thinking this today. I'm like, this is so crazy. A guy like me would never get platformed at this men's conference with 8,000 men, but a guy that rips his clothes off, that used to be a gay stripper, facts, I have receipts on my video coming out tonight, rips off his clothes, used to be a gay stripper, swallows a sword, that guy gets a platform in the church at a men's conference, but we ain't gonna platform deliverance. And thank God Mark Driscoll called it out. Thank God Mark Driscoll got up and said, hey, that's a Jezebel spirit. That's an Asherah pole. That's an Asherah pole. You're inviting in the spirit of perversion. And then he got booed off the stage, kicked off the stage. Yet the guy ripping off his clothes didn't get kicked off the stage. And the pastor told Mark Driscoll, you're going too far. But the guy ripping off his clothes wasn't going too far. That's coming in the video tonight. I got to stay on topic. Jesus tells us clearly the motives of demons in Matthew 12:43. Let's look at these words in red. When an evil spirit leaves a person, now that's whether it gets cast out or leaves on its own will. Look what it says. It goes into the desert. And isn't it interesting just to point out this? Jesus said, I've given you power over serpents and scorpions are in the desert. And Jesus now says the demons go into the desert. But where did he give us authority? Over scorpions. So here we see some type of correlation, a mystery between deserts, scorpions, I've never seen this until right now, and our authority over demonic spirits, okay? The demon, Jesus says, looks for rest but finds none. Demons are looking to rest somewhere. They're looking for people to rest in. They want to rest in you. They want to live in you. And I'm going to show you this. Then it says, so now Jesus tells us what the demon says. The demon says, this is out of the mouth of Jesus. If you don't like it, take it up with him, not me. I will return to the person I came from. Okay, so we know now, once you go through deliverance, once a demon comes out, what is the goal of the demon? What is the goal of the demon? I will return to the person I came from. They're seeking reentrance. Whether it's the same demon or not, doesn't matter. They're seeking reentrance after they leave you, okay? So it returns to its former home. Wow, another principle. Demons call you their home. Look at this. It returns and finds its former home where it used to live. That's the person, swept and in order. Well, I'm sorry, I missed a word. This is the important word I missed. It finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Three things. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil, and they all enter the person and live there. So where do demons live? Principally in people. The demon says, I'm going to go back to my home. You better let the devil know right now, I am not your home, Satan. I feel the fire of God right now. You better let every demon know that's living in you, I am not your home. You are leaving me right now. I don't need to wait to the altar call. You are leaving me in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have no legal right. You have no authority over me. It's time to go, Satan. It's time to, right now. When? Right now. You tell that demon, spirit of anxiety, leave me. Spirit of depression, leave me. Spirit of fear, leave me. I am not your home. You're not living here any longer. It's time to pack up your bags. You are being officially evicted right here, right now, on the live, on the replay. Don't matter. You are leaving in Jesus' name. Right now. Do I have to go now? You have to go now. You let the devil know. Your assignment is over. Your plans have been canceled. Up and out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have failed this assignment, Satan. So look what the demon says. Sorry, I just had to stop and do a little altar call there. It says it goes and enters the person, and the person is worse off than before. Then Jesus says, that will be the experience of this evil generation. So we're talking about an entire demonized generation where Jesus does mass deliverance on this generation, because Mark 1:39, he went from synagogue to synagogue casting out demons. How many of you know Jesus cast out demons everywhere he went? Praise God. But an entire generation gets liberated, but then three things happen. They're empty, they're swept, and they're in order, but the demons come back. This is the problem we have. We get empty, but our house stays empty. Guys,
before I even go to thing one, step one after your deliverance, right now, whether you're going through deliverance or you've been in deliverance, you need to be filled. You need to be filled with God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be empty. We cannot be empty. Let God fill you with His power, with His Spirit. So it doesn't matter that you say, well, my life's in order. My body's in order. I'm going to the gym. I'm working out. Okay, your house might be in order. Your body might be in order. But it doesn't mean a demon's not going to come back. Just because your life's in order, just because it's swept and looks clean, just because it's, the goal is, guys, we got to get filled. The house is empty. If the house isn't empty, the demon can't re-enter. So we need to make sure that our house is full of the Holy Spirit, that we're not leaving any room for Him. So we want to be full of, let's just say three things. The Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, we want to be filled with spiritual gifts. That's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, full of gifts, spiritual gifts. Number three, full of spiritual fruit. That's Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So we got to get, fill my house, Lord. The demons hate gifts of the Holy Spirit. The demons hate fruits of the Holy Spirit because they counter the fruits of darkness. So we got to fill our houses. This is even before my teaching of steps, because I'm about to go into the steps. But even before that, we need to get filled. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. I don't want any demons in my life. I need to make my house. So to establish the teaching today, what is the house? My body. What did Jesus say the house was? The person. So all of us right now watching live on the replay, we are spiritual houses. Demons are trying to get in your house. The Holy Spirit wants in your house as well. Why? Because we're now temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of God. So now you've just gone through deliverance. You're watching this video. You found it. What do I do after deliverance? You just went through deliverance, right? Your house is full. I'm assuming your house is not empty. Your house is full. You've just gone through deliverance. What do I do? How do I maintain my deliverance? How do I make sure the demons don't come back? Number one. Okay, number one. And I'm not going to draw this out because, again, I'm on a time crunch here. I got to be off here in like 45 minutes. Number one is don't reopen the doors they came through. Don't reopen the doors. Whatever demons came out of you, you might know how they got in. You might not. It's likely you probably know how the demons got in. You need to be vigilant after your deliverance that you don't reopen the doors that those demons came through, because we know a freshly delivered person, demons are looking for a re-entrance. Write that in your notes. Demons are looking for a re-entrance. So don't reopen the doors. They're seeking re-entrance. What do we need to do? James 4:7. Somebody type, keep the door shut. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So the key is not just resisting the devil. Be like, just resist the devil and he'll flee. Yeah, but you don't submit to God. You're not submitted. You don't obey the voice of God. You don't obey the word of God. You don't obey preachers and pastors that are speaking forth the word of God. So the key is not just resist the devil. Submit. Stop fighting. God is trying to tap you out and you're wiggling around. God's like, just submit. Tap out. Say, God, I surrender to you. My hands are up, Lord. I surrender. I'm throwing up the white flag. I'm giving up my own way. What was the first thing Jesus said to do? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. So you need to tap out right now and surrender to God. Stop fighting God. Stop fighting God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then you need to resist the devil. Then he flees. I'm helping somebody today. Maybe if it's not you, I'm helping myself here because I want to stay free. I want to stay delivered. I don't want to keep going from deliverance to deliverance. What is that? I don't want to live my life every week having to go through deliverance. If you need more deliverance, I don't want to talk bad about it. Keep getting it. Get more. I tell you, get more deliverance. But I don't want to live my life always needing deliverance. I want to walk in dominion and power and authority and clarity and boldness and holiness. So submit, resist, and then the devil runs. There will come a point where the demons are like, I am wasting my time on this guy. I am wasting my time on Isaiah. I want to be a waste of demons' time. I want to waste the devil's time. I want demons to be like, this dude's a waste of time. I'm not even going to tempt Isaiah because I already know he's not going to look at that. I already know he's not going to click that. You got to remember the devil's finite. He has a limited resource. 1/3 of the angels fell. He can't create more demons. There's only a limited amount of demons, and we're taking them out of circulation when we do deliverance. We're commanding them to go to the abyss, which is where they wait until they get judged one day. They will get judged one day at the book of end of Revelation and thrown in the lake of fire. So we're taking demons out of circulation, but remember, demons are limited. The devil's limited. He doesn't have all power, all authority. So here we are now, wasting the devil's time. I am a waste of the devil's time. Type that in the chat. I'm a waste of the devil's time. Keep coming out. Dude, like, bro, aren't you tired of wasting? Like, at some point, he just flees. The demons are like, I'm not getting back in. Guys, when the spirit of lust left me, it's like, it's not coming back in. I'm not reopening the door. Well, do you watch that? No, I don't watch stuff that stirs up lust in me. I don't go on the Instagram Explore page. I'm not scrolling through things I shouldn't be scrolling at. I'm not on websites at night I shouldn't be on. I'm not even, I already know where that goes. I already know what's at the end of that road. It's the spirit of lust. And I already got delivered. I'm not reopening that door. Do not reopen the doors, especially when you know what you dealt with. Like, I never dealt with, let's say, drugs, okay? I was getting hired as a law enforcement officer, going through the process, got a degree in administration of justice. I never did drugs, never. So the devil's not going to tempt me with that. That's not a trigger for me. I'm not tempted. But I know what would and what door did open. So I want to make sure I know what doors I had opened and I don't want to reopen those doors. So you should kind of know what you dealt with and make sure you don't reopen those doors. Avoid triggers. Avoid triggers. You know what triggers you. You know what stirs up that lust. You know, I don't even need to go into detail. You know the doors that you open. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. So here's what it's saying. Let me give you a breakdown. Whatever temptation you're going through, we've all gone through. There's no special temptation you're going through. We're all tempted in the same way. Do you guys know Jesus was tempted but did not give in to sin? So it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in. And when you give in, you open the door to demons and demons get legal access to your life. Okay? So what happens when you're about to open that door? God provides a way out. Don't open that door. God provides an exit. There is no temptation that you cannot escape. Look for the exit. When you are tempted, I tell guys this all the time, look for the exit. Is the exit exiting out on the phone? Is the exit turning off your computer? Do not put yourself in a place you know you're weak. If you're up late at night, touching yourself, watching videos you shouldn't watch, don't be up late at night. Don't be on your computer past 9 o'clock. What? There's nothing good happening anyways. Do you guys see this? Avoid the trigger. Some of it's not even spiritual. It's just that you're being dumb. You're just being dumb. Letting yourself be up late at night, getting on the phone, scrolling, texting people. What are you even doing? Like, you need somebody that will tell you the way it is. What are you even doing? Get off the computer, guys. Get off the website. You can't handle TikTok. You see one clip show up of a girl in a bikini and it triggers you. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. Get off of it. Get off of it. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let that be your prayer. Part of the Lord's prayer was, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. God can lead you out. We need to remove the doors. Matthew 18:8. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to enter life with one hand or one foot than to be thrown in eternal fire with both hands and with both feet. If your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye, what should I do if my eye causes me to sin? Matthew 18:8, gouge it out and throw it away. Don't just cut your eye out, throw your eye away. It's better to enter eternal life with one eye than have two eyes and be thrown into hellfire. Eternal fire, Matthew 18:8. So if your phone causes you to sin, get rid of it. You've been delivered now. This is after your deliverance. Get rid of whatever triggers you, whenever you open the door. How about this one? If your friend causes you to sin, cut them off. What's more drastic, cutting off your friend or cutting out your eye? Cutting off your eye, cutting out your eye. So then cut off your friends. If your girlfriend causes you to stumble, get rid of this relationship. You know you can't handle it. Run, Run, run. Stop playing with the snake will bite you. Look what Proverbs 5:1 says. My son, pay attention to wisdom. Listen carefully to wise counsel. So open your ears and listen to what Proverbs Solomon's about to tell us. Then you'll show discernment and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of the immoral woman, it's talking about lust, immoral women, sexual sin. The lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, for her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she bites as bitter as poison, and she's as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Kind of like we have these guys swallowing swords here. Okay, but that's another video coming out in a few hours. Verse 5, her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Like, this is lust. Proverbs 5, this is lust. As Monday night changed always? No, it's just because I'm helping coach my daughter softball and she has a softball game tonight, but usually it'll be at 6 o'clock unless I say. Verse 6, look at this. For she cares nothing about the path of life. She staggers down the crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my son, listen to me. So now we know how bad lust is, how destructive. Now, my son, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Lust has a door. It doesn't even say don't open the door. Dude, don't even go near the door. Like, why are you even near the door that you open to let that spirit of lust into your life? Don't even go near the door. Some of you have your hand on the handle and you're like, maybe I'll open it. Maybe I'll let this thing, maybe I'll, one more time. And you might open the door and nothing might come through, or something might come through, enter in you, live in you, and destroy your life. Is that a risk you're willing to take? I'm not willing to take it. So some of you are opening the door. Bible says don't even go near the door of her house. Verse 9, if you do, you'll lose your honor and you will lose the merciless people, all that you've achieved. You'll lose everything. She will rob you of everything. Your marriage, your family, your job, your calling, your destiny, your career, your vision, your purpose, your prophetic edge, your prophetic voice. She will literally ruin everything. That this woman, this seductive woman of lust, when you let her in, don't open the door. Do not reopen the doors. And I'm just using lust as one example, but there's many other things that we're opening the door to. Drugs, women, money, perversion, addiction, fill in the blank. Don't go near the door. Don't go near the door. So don't reopen doors. Number two, okay? We're moving. I know I've already been live for 30 minutes here and we're only on number two. I'm going. Number two, put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand the day of evil, having done all that to stand. So Paul says, stand your ground. An army is advancing towards us. And Paul says, the devil's coming. The day of evil is here. The devil's coming towards us, but we have armor. We can take a stand against the devil. We are not going to lose to the devil any longer. Come on, where are my soldiers at? We have armor. Spiritual warfare is about standing your ground. No surrender, no retreat, no rearview mirror, no going back, no getting quiet, no slowing down, no fear here. We are putting on the armor of God. We've been delivered. We've been free. Praise the Lord. It's time to fight. Here's how I see it. You get set free. You get pulled out of jail. How many of you know you can't fight in an army if you're in prison? God delivers you from that demonic prison cell. Now he thrusts you right into the battle. Here's a sword. Here's a shield. Let's fight. Oh, you've been free? Let's set others free. Oh, you've been delivered? We're going to stand and fight. We're not backing down. We're not afraid. I'm not afraid of you, devil. You've lost. We're not raising up wimps. We're raising up warriors. So we stand against the works of the devil according to scripture. So look what Ephesians 6:14 says. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having showed your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. Put on the full armor of God. 7 pieces. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace that come from the good news, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and then piece number 7, praying in the Spirit, putting on the full armor of God. We have entire videos on the armor of God. It's essential. Now, I want to note the helmet of salvation, which is the guarding of your thought life. Most demons seek to re-enter and attack your thoughts. They attack your thought life. They want you to think wrong. They want you to think bad things. They seek to re-enter through that. So we need to become watchful of what we think about. If you get negative demonic thoughts, you need to rebuke those. Take every thought captive, every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, take it captive. Arrest those thoughts because demons want to re-enter. They refuse to obey those thoughts that tell you to do bad, demonic, negative things. Isaiah 26, verse 3, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Keep your mind on God. Don't let the devil build real estate in your mind. The devil wants to build in your mind. Devil, you're not building in my mind. I have the helmet of salvation on. I would pray this on every day. Just memorize the armor of God and pray, Lord, I put it on. My spirit man's going to battle. I would never go to battle, without armor. Every day is a spiritual battle if you're a Christian. Remember, guys, before you were oblivious to the war. None of this mattered. But now you're a Christian. Every day is a battle now that you're a Christian. Put on the full armor of God so that you can fight. Our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. We're fighting spirits. We're fighting demons. So stand firm with the armor of God and put the full armor on. Don't just put on pieces. Some of you put on the helmet, but not the breastplate. You have the shield, but not the sword. No. The full armor of God so we can fight the strategies the demons have against us. The demons aren't the only ones that have strategies and armor. We do as well. We need the belt of truth, which is what holds all the armor together. The truth of God's word will set you free. The truth of God's word holds everything together. Demons want to challenge the truth. Are you sure God said that? Are you sure that's what God did? Are you sure you've been delivered? Are you sure it worked? Don't let the demons challenge that. Those are lies. Don't believe the lies. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, which protects your vital organs from fatal blows. The righteousness of Christ protects us against the accusations of the enemy. Protects us, that breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of peace would come from the good news. And back in those days, they would lay down snares and traps for soldiers. So the Bible's like, put on those shoes. You're not going to get entangled. You have the shoes of peace. If your marriage has chaos, those shoes of peace will help you walk through marriage problems. If your body's in disarray, the shoes of peace will bring peace to you so you can walk through the sickness you're going through. If you have trouble in your finances, the shoes of peace will help you walk through with peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Guys, I want to tell you, you are going to make it through this. You are going to make it through this storm. Someone needs to hear this right now. You're on the verge of giving up. The shoes of peace bring breakthrough. You are going to make it in Jesus' name. The devil is a liar. Put on the shoes of peace. Put on that shield of faith. The devil's shooting darts at you. It's all good. I got the shield of faith. It's going to protect me in any direction. My faith is going to keep me going. I'm wearing that full armor of God. My helmet of salvation is protecting my thought life. The sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, is the only offensive weapon in the full armor. Use that sword. And guys, I have a whole hour-long video breaking down this whole teaching on all the pieces, but for the sake of time, put on that. And then lastly, pray in the spirit always. Do I just pray at prayer meetings? No, I'm always praying. Prayer is like breathing. I'm connected to God. I want to develop that prayer life. I want to be close to God in prayer. So that's very important to have that full armor. All right, number three. Speak after your deliverance. How do I stay free? How do I make sure the devil doesn't re-enter, the demons don't re-enter? Speak God's word over your life. I cannot tell you how powerful this is. Negative things that you speak characterize demonic influence. Open the door to demons. Do not confess what the enemy says. Confess what God's word says. Stop cursing your life. Stop cursing your family. Stop speaking death. Mark 11, 23, Jesus says, if you say to this mountain, move, it has to move. It'll obey whatever you say. There is power in what you say. There is power in your words. So stop talking about your mountains. Stop telling everybody about your mountains and start speaking to your mountains. Start telling depression, you got to go. Start telling anger, you have to move. Start telling sickness, it's time to move. Start telling the demons, you're moving. You're moving out. Where are the demons moving? Out into the abyss, into the pit. You have no power. You have no authority. It is time for you to go. I'm speaking those things that are not as though they are. Stop speaking curses over yourself. Some of you are like, a witch is cursing me. No, a witch isn't even wasting her time on you. You're cursing you. You don't need a witch to curse you. You're cursing yourself when you constantly are negative and bitter and complaining. It's like, what? Dude, come on. Change the way you talk. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. What are some of the things speaking the word of God does? Speaking the word of God strengthens your faith. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind that you may be testing and discerning what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. God's word, speak it forth against spiritual attacks. The Bible says the sword of the spirit, Ephesians 6, 17, which is the word of God. The word of God has power against spiritual attacks. Speak the word of God. It brings life. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. God's word also brings comfort and encouragement. Psalms 119, 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life. Speaking the promises of God. Where are God's promises? In his word. Every day, speak the word of God. If you're sick in your body, you speak out, I will live and not die, says the Lord. If your family's not saved, speak out, me and my household shall be saved. Guys, there is so much power in speaking the word of God. Speak it forth. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Speak it out. Speak it out. The word of God. Whenever the devil comes, fight him with the word. All right. Number four, I cannot say this enough. Stay in scripture. You've just been delivered. Devour the word of God. You cannot afford to not be in the scripture. You need to stay in it. Now, the reason why I put stay in the scripture, how many of you know it's easy to get in the scripture? It's easy to get in scripture once in a week, once in a while, like read the Bible a little bit. That's not hard. What I found, and I struggle with this in my own life. You're like, how? I say, you read every day. Of course I do. And I'm preparing sermons and teachings. But I found that we do like the 90-day Bible challenge or the 30-day Bible challenge or whatever it is. We read the Bible in a year. But it's easy to go through patterns of reading a lot and then not reading anymore. And we go in ebbs and flows of up and down. But I want you to be consistent in the word of God. Just steady, steady every day. 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is you do. Every single day, stay in the scripture. That will keep you demon-proof. The Bible says the word is a mirror to the soul. James 1:22. It's a lamp to guide you. Psalms 119, 105. It's a cleansing agent, Ephesians 5:25. It's a two-edged sword laying bare the heart, Hebrews 4:12. It's food for your spirit, 1 Peter 2:2 and Matthew 4:4. No one, listen to what I'm about to say, will maintain deliverance apart from the word of God being the primary factor in your life, the primary source of nourishment. We need to have the word of God. Get a relationship with the scripture. Memorize the scripture. Ask the Lord to speak his word to you. Develop an appetite for the word. You'll never feel any better than having the word of God in your life. And I'll tell you one thing, demons hate when you read the Bible. Why do I always get tired when I read the Bible? The demons hate it. Why do I always get distracted? Have you noticed that you're not distracted at all when you're watching Netflix? But the moment you read the Bible, every distraction pops up. The devil has a way. Friends, family, everyone's calling you. It's like, oh, every time I read the scripture, I'm so distracted. Demons hate the Bible. They hate when you read the scripture. They hate when you speak the word of God. They hate when you study. So you need to get in it. Now, here's a good thing to know what to do. Find out what demons hate. Demons hate the Bible. It's probably good that I read the Bible. Demons hate when I stay in scripture. It's probably good to stay in scripture. So maintaining deliverance, number four, stay in scripture. Number five, crucify your flesh. Crucify your flesh and pick up your cross. Break the old habits that the demons that are now gone have set up for you. Those habits you've had, those fleshly habits of feeding your flesh porn, vaping, drugs, alcohol, negativity, gossip, perversion, masturbation, all of these things, the old habits that they're habits. Who set those habits up? Demons. But you know, now you just got delivered, right? Because that's what this video is about. Now, you need to break the habits that the demons that are now gone have set up. The flesh will not die voluntarily. He must be crucified. These are daily choices to not feed him. The flesh loves gossip, dirty movies, dirty music, compromise, laziness, telling secrets, when you don't pray, when you don't read, break the habits, crucify them. Tell your flesh, shut up. I'm not obeying you. I'm not listening to you. I'm putting you on the cross and I'm crucifying you. Because if you don't crucify your flesh, the flesh will open the door to more demons. And if you're wondering what the flesh is, it's the fallen sinful tendency. The fallen sinful tendency. Romans 7:18. I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I desire to do what is good, but I don't. I carry out what is wrong. So Paul talks about this war, but then notice Paul says, but guess what? I've overcome that battle. I've overcome that battle because of what Christ has done on the cross. I've crucified the flesh. I no longer have to live under the power of the flesh. Look at what Romans 6:6 says. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body that was ruled by sin might be done away with. So we are no longer slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. The good news is you've been freed from the sinful nature, from what the flesh wants you to do. You are free from that. You no longer live in that. The power of the flesh has been broken. You no longer are a slave to sin. You are a slave to God. Don't believe these preachers like you're always, no, it's not normal. I'm not going to always struggle to watch porn and go do this and that. I hate when pastors say that. Well, you're always going to, have a desire to watch that porn. No, I'm not. I've been crucified with Christ. That sinful nature that liked perversion before the old Isaiah has died. I'm a new person. So how could I, if I've died to sin, still live in that? God has set me free. There's freedom available. Freedom available. All right. Number six. Okay. If you want to stay free after your deliverance, develop a prayer life. Guys, you have to develop. Praise and prayer silences the devil. The Bible says praise silences the foe and the avenger. It builds a stronghold against him. It silences demonic spirits. Singing, worshiping, shouting, dancing, getting on your knees. The devil hates it. It's vital. He hates it. I've had demons literally say, I hate being in this person. I'm leaving. Because they always pray and they always worship. Demons hate living in a vessel that prays and worships. So if you want to keep them out, they're going to look at you and be like, okay, I want to get back in this person. And then they watch you and they go like, oh, they're always praying and worshiping. I don't want to live there. It's like, imagine I said, hey, come move in to a house. And by the way, I want you to move in, but every like few days, a hurricane hits the house. A storm hits the house. You're going to say, I'm not moving in there. Now, that's exactly what prayer is to demons. When you pray, it's like a hurricane in their house. It's like a storm in their house. Like, oh, I hate being here. Oh, it hurts me. You put them in pain when you praise and worship. And guys, I've had so many demons say, literally in deliverance, the demon will speak out of the person. The demon will say, I hate living here. They're always praising. They're always worshiping. I'm leaving. I don't want to be here anymore. I was waiting for you to tell me to leave. I'm telling y'all, demons hate praise and worship. They specifically hate when you pray in the name of Jesus. John 16:23. Truly I say, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive. So there's power in praying the name of Jesus. You guys, excuse me, I'm a little bit hoarse. I've had a head cold, so I have a little bit of a cold right now. So I meant to say in the beginning, I'm a little bit, sneezy and runny nose and all that. So apologize if I'm messing with my face or coughing or anything like that. But Jesus says this, here's the key, pray in the name of Jesus. We come in Jesus's name, and that's how God answers our prayers. We approach the throne of God in Jesus's name. We're in right standing with God because of Jesus. So this is what happens when we come in his authority. Let me show you some verses that talk about the power of his name. Luke 10:17, the demons were powerless because of the name of Jesus. Mark 16:17, the demons come out in his name. Acts 3:6, healing occurred in his name. Acts 4:12, salvation comes by his name. Matthew 28:19, we're baptized in his name. 1 Corinthians 6:11, we're justified in his name. Colossians 3:17, everything we do or say is done in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. When I pray in his name, I'm declaring I have no power, but he has all the power. Like a bride who has no money but marries a rich man, you get everything in his name. How many of you know? Any of you ever married somebody and they didn't have any money in their account, but you did? And the moment you get married, you join bank accounts? I believe that's how you should do it. Maybe some of you don't, but when I got married, we joined bank accounts the day right away, that day. Okay, I don't believe in having separate finances, none of that. We joined bank accounts. And whatever was in my account, which, by the way, wasn't very much. I think I had $600 when we got married, but that's a whole other story, a testimony of God's grace. All right? Whatever I had in my account, my wife had less than 600, but whatever I had in my account, she got it now. So I'm like poor spiritually. I have like no authority at all over demons. But when I come in his name, me and him are married, I get everything he has. It's beautiful. I get the authority, the power that he has. So prayer, worship, these are powerful things. I have whole videos on worship, intercession, prayer, commanding prayer, petitioning prayer, all of that, okay? Number seven, last but absolutely not least, number seven, get involved in a local church. You've been delivered. You've been set free. Get involved in a local church. Very important, okay? Don't let the enemy isolate you. He wants you by yourself. You need to be in the local church, getting involved, ministering to people, discipling people, doing deliverance on people, maintaining a life of ministry. Write this down in your notes. Boredom is a playground for demons. You know, the demon's favorite playground is called boredom. This is where they play. This is where they thrive. You got to get involved in a local church. Let me give you some reasons why you should be involved in a local church. Number one, fellowship and community. Being a part of a local church provides what you need when it comes to support, encouragement, all that. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Do not neglect meeting together as some have, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's encouragement. There's power in the pack. We can do more together than we can alone. So you need to get involved in a local church. Just online is not enough. You need to be involved in a local church. Also, another reason, number two, is spiritual growth. In a church community, there's teaching, there's preaching, there's discipleship. Ephesians 4:11, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, for mature manhood to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to be in the church. Okay. Number three, accountability. Being a part of the local church provides accountability in your Christian walk. James 5:16, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous has power. Okay. Also, you can get involved in service and ministry. 1 Peter 4:10, each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. So service and ministry is powerful. Another reason is worship. Gathering together to worship in unity. Psalms 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. I'll do a whole video on this, but worship is powerful together. Strengthening each other's faith with testimonies, prayer, experiences. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers with one another. So there's power in that, okay? Another one is outreaching together, witnessing together. Matthew 28:19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. I am with you always to the end of the age. We need to commit ourselves to the local church. I have been involved in a local church for 13 years. I pastored a local church for 10 years. And the last 3 years, I have been involved in a local church. I'm a part of a local church. I go to a church in Modesto, the House Church Modesto. I'm a part. I'm involved. I'm there on Sunday, okay? We got to be involved in the local church. It's essential. Commit yourself fully to God. You got to get on a team. You got to get in the army together. So to recap, let's recap these again. Number one, so this is now you've been delivered. What do we do? Number one, don't reopen doors, okay? Number two, put on the full armor of God. Number three, speak God's word over your life. Number four, stay in the scripture. Stay in the word of God. Number five, crucify that flesh. Say no to the flesh. Say no to the sinful nature. You've been free from that. Number six is develop a prayer life. Demons hate prayer lives. They hate, when a demon's living in you, it's like having a hurricane hit the house when you pray. I like that. Number seven, get involved in a local church. Get involved in a local church. Let's pray together now. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person in the chat. God, I pray as they come out through deliverance, Lord, out of their deliverance, that they stay free, that they keep every door closed. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, help them to keep the doors closed. Help them to walk in your power. Help them to walk in your spirit. Help them, God, to walk in your anointing. God, I pray right now that we will not reopen the doors to the enemy, but we've been delivered and we're staying delivered. In Jesus' name, God, I bless every single one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I want you to sow into what God is doing. If you are blessed, sow something. I won't be reading all the donations live because I do have to help go coach my daughter's softball, but I want to get on here and give you guys this teaching of what to do after deliverance. I've been live for almost an hour, partner with what God is doing. For all of you asking me about Mark Driscoll, I did touch on it already, but in about an hour, I have a full video covering it, my thoughts. I debated doing this video, but I think I have some good points in the video. So I have a quick 10-minute video coming out in about an hour on the Mark Driscoll situation and what my honest thoughts are and where I see some serious issues in this whole situation. But I'll cover that in about an hour. That video goes live. It's already been recorded. But yeah, please sow in, guys. If you're not a monthly partner, pray about becoming a monthly partner. Our monthly partners go up and down because people sign up and then cancel. But please pray about becoming a monthly partner on YouTube or on my website. My website's the best. You can scan the QR code. You will get 70 sermons from me, 20% off the merch store. And then you'll get invited to every single week, Thursday at 1:30, we have a Zoom prayer call. I would challenge every one of my monthly partners to be in the 1:30 p.m. Zoom prayer call on Thursday. It's super powerful. You don't want to miss that. That's Thursday at 1:30. Jared's with me in it, and it's been amazing. So yes, pray about monthly partnering. And if you can't monthly partner, just sow one time. We have Venmo, Cash App, PayPal. All of our content is free. So the way we keep doing this is your guys' support and partnership. So I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.